Welcome to HealthTech Matters, a podcast where we explore how great healthcare products are built. Today our guest is Petronelle Hudar, a skincare director at a Singapore-based skin analysis startup, Sequent Healthcare. In this episode, we are discussing genetics and skincare, Asian skincare market, and skin testing. Stay tuned! Could you please tell me more about your background?
Yeah, I grew up in Paris and I'm a pharmacist. So in France, pharmacy study is a 6 years program where you learn a lot about chemistry, biology and microbiology. And as I was very interested in formulation and perfume chemistry, I took a specialization in dermopharmacy and a master in cosmetology. And 12 years ago, I moved to Singapore. And since then, I hold a different position in the skincare industry, always related to product innovation and product formulation. So I started in research and development for a cosmetic manufacturer. And then I founded my own cosmetic brand. And it was a customizable skincare range, formulating in such way that consumer can customize their daily moisturizer according to their needs. And about 2 years ago, I met the two co-founders of Sequential Skin, Dr. Oliver Worsley. They are both molecular biologists, and they were working on a fantastic project that, to me, will revolutionize the cosmetic industry. So it was a perfect match between their knowledge on molecular biology and my understanding of skincare formulation.
And it must be so warm, Singapore.
It's quite warm and humid, and compared to Europe, there is no season. So it's hot every day, yeah. Which is quite nice at the beginning. But after many years, you miss the cold weather. It's a very nice place to live in. When you can travel, you just spend an hour in a plane and you are in Thailand, you are in Indonesia, and you can go overseas for the weekend. Living in Singapore itself is like a very comfortable and convenient city to live in. There is no traffic jam. It's very safe.
So yeah, you must be lucky.
Yeah, but here, like 12 years ago, I was thinking to stay 1 or 2 years, and it's been 12 years already. So yeah, I think I like it.
Yeah, so you came from work?
I came to finish my study. I really wanted to come in Asia and work in Asia. And I found actually an internship, and it was a 6 month internship. And then I got a job and many more opportunities. So I stay. And
by the way, is everything closed in Singapore because of COVID or not?
No, so the situation here is a bit different than Europe. So we got almost 3 months lockdown last year between April and of June. So I think it was one of the longest closed down, and and then since then there was a lot of restrictions. So they call it the phase one, phase two, phase three. We didn't have any other lockdown after the last year. The good thing is, so they closed totally the border. So for tourists, they can't visit Singapore, and for us, if we want to go overseas, we have to do a quarantine in a hotel. 2 weeks quarantine in a hotel, and you have to pay for it. It really limits the amount of persons that travel, and you can't really travel. You have to go somewhere for like a good reason. All this restriction had very good impact on the transmission here in Singapore. So since like 3-4 months, we almost have no transmission between the population in Singapore. Here, you know, it's quite strict, and it's working well because there is restriction and everyone is following. So we are living in a kind of almost like a normal life, even if I don't like to say that, but close to a normal life, even if we can't travel, at least our daily life is not impacted.
It's very interesting because market in France, in Europe, I'd say, and in Asia, in Singapore, they are very different. What is so special in Asia compared to the Europe?
Yeah, definitely skincare market is quite different from Singapore to Europe or US market. So first, beauty industry is a very big thing in Singapore. And Singaporeans are eager to invest in their appearance. And consumers are quite adventurous and open to try a new beauty product. So yep, the local population is quite small because it's around 5 million inhabitants, but the country has a significant expatriate community. So because of its multicultural society, Singapore represents an ideal testing ground for us, where we can reach different ethnicity group and conduct pilot study on different skin type. And so being based in Singapore is ideal for us, especially for the testing phase of our product. And of course, as the population is little, to reach out more consumers, we are forced to expand quickly overseas as well.
Mm-hmm. And so you're planning to expand to other Asian countries, for example. What is so similar to Singapore?
Yeah, so for now we are available in Singapore and in some other Asian country. And we just opened a lab in New York for US market. I will say now we have two labs, one in Singapore and one in US for the two markets. And we are planning to open within the end of the year lab as well in Europe to open the European market too.
Mm-hmm. And could you please tell me more about Sequential Skin, how it works?
Yeah, so Sequential Skin is the first science-backed skin test that take an in-depth look at your skin genetics and your skin microbiome. So we use the latest sequencing technology to assess your genetic predisposition to certain skin traits and how your skin microbiome influences them. And this gives us a clear idea of the current state of your skin. And we can tell you exactly what cosmetic ingredients and product will work best for your unique skin profile. So we developed a patent pending skin patch that you place on your forehead for 10 seconds. And then you send it back to our lab for analysis. And from that, we create a comprehensive report that explains to you your genetic in details, your microbiome, and give you recommendations on your skincare regimen. So just to give you a bit more details, we look at five main categories, which are the skin sensitivity. So how well your skin recovers after any adverse reaction caused by external factors. Your hydration, so how well moisture is absorbed and retained in the surface of your skin cells, and your ability as well to regulate skin moisture levels. We're looking at your sun protection. So we look at your skin sensitivity to light and your production of melanin, production of collagen and elastin, which are the two key proteins preventing visible signs of aging. And lastly, the antioxidant capacity. So on top of these genetic factors that define who you are and what you are born with, we look at your skin microbiome diversity and something that your environment can influence. I can give a quick overview of what is microbiome. So it's the genetic material of all the microorganisms, including bacteria, virus, and others that live in and on the human body, which are integral to who you are and varies for each individual. And it's in constant contact with our environment and works to protect against pathogens, to influence or alter our immune response, and to break down natural metabolites on the skin. So it's a demonstrated fact that imbalance of the skin microbiome has a major role in the development of certain skin reactions and skin conditions, such as redness, inflammation, sensitive skin, but as well as poor barrier function and in some skin diseases such as atopic dermatitis, acne, or rosacea. So similar to our DNA, our microbiome is unique to each individual and it changes and evolves in response to a range of internal and external factors such as stress, eating habits, pollution, UV exposure, and climate. So going back to Sequential Skin, it's your nature plus your nurture, all the pieces together that give you this comprehensive skin report. And of course, we didn't just want to tell about your skin profile, but our mission at Sequential Skin is to empower individuals to make a better informed decision about their skincare by giving consumer actionable recommendation on how to improve their skin overall health, as well as guiding them on what works best based on their unique profile.
Mm-hmm. Let's dive deeper into how the product works. So you are collecting enough material with a pitch. So how do, if it's enough material, let's say a person applied it to the skin and maybe skin is dry, or maybe you do not have enough material. So how do you, this will be enough for the test?
So it was part of the 2 years of research and development, and Oliver and Albert worked very hard on this to develop this collection patch system. Just to give you an overview of the process is very simple. So the user receives our skin kit at home, and inside this kit there is a pair of sterile gloves, a collection tube, a collection patch, and a prepaid envelope to send back the patch to our lab. And the collection step is very simple and takes less than a minute. So first thing in the morning, before washing your face and removing all the bacteria that grew overnight, you apply the skin patch on your forehead for 10 seconds. Then you slide in the collection tube, and by using the prepaid envelope, you send it back to our lab for processing. And then within 1 to 2 weeks, depending on where you live, you receive a 17 pages report available through our Sequential Skin app with your skincare ingredient recommendations and commercialized product match.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that a person is sending this, well, the results to you back. And how much time it takes? Because let's say in New York, if a person applied a patch and then 2 days, let's say weekend, and he cannot send the results to you back, will it be still valid, or bacterias will die or whatever?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I should have mentioned it. So in the collection tube, there is a preservative inside. So it's still valid. And one important aspect is that by this stripping method, we are collecting only the genetic material. So we are not collecting live bacteria. So we can keep it for like even 1 or 2 months without having issue on the collection analysis.
Could you please tell me more about the process, how you were working on this physical product, because it's quite hard?
Yeah, so as I said, we really wanted to control all the steps of the process from the collection step to the lab analysis, because we are doing everything internally. And to the recommendation, so we develop internally everything. So we spend 2 years on the R&D for developing this patch, and then we're doing all the sequencing internally and all the recommendation also internally.
Mm-hmm. And when you were talking about microbiome and that it is impacted by the environment and it inhabits and so many other factors, so it made me think that person will have a different result in 1 year if he, she changes the location or changes eating habits. So how often a person should apply the patch and do this test?
Yeah, so you're totally right. Because of the environment, the microbiome changes and evolve in the time. So our recommendation is to test it after 3 months. After 3 months of the first test, you can retest it to see how your microbiome is improved following our recommendation. So we say every 2-3 months is the perfect time to retest.
And do you think that you will be using this data for more general analysis and understanding the common trends of skincare, environmental impact on the skin in specific regions, or it is too distant from now?
That's one of our targets, is really to understand the impact of the microbiome on your skin health. We are also doing internally some research. So by collecting and analyzing the microbiome sequencing data, we hope to understand better the relationship between this disease and the microbiome of those patients. So it's one of our goal as well, to really link all these data with the different profile we have.
And as a result of this testing, a person gets a list of recommendations. So the question is, why did you decide to stop with these reports? Because there are many companies who are developing cosmetics based on the results of the testing. Let's say you have very dry skin and we will do specific personalized cosmetic for you. Do you think it is a good approach or it is almost impossible to do personalized cosmetic for each person?
No, I think it's a good approach, but for now we didn't have enough data yet to really personalize all the formulation for every skin profile. So we are looking to launch soon personalized mask, sheet mask that can really with a program on 1 month depending on your skin profile. And in the near future, we hope to develop our own personalized skincare range as well program. But yeah, for now, we are still a young company and we wanted to collect more data to really be successful and develop a good product that really match all the different skin profiles.
It's just in general very interesting that you were working on the product for 2 years before are releasing it, and it's quite normal in R&D, I think. How did you feel when you were working on the product for such a long time and you didn't have direct feedback from the market?
During these 2 years of R&D, we did survey on 300 consumer and in both Singapore and Spain. Mm-hmm. To see how people react to this type of information. We got very good feedback on the development of the product and most of them were very interested in understanding at a molecular level their skin profile and understanding what type of insight they can get from our recommendation and how they can use it to have a better informed choice on their skincare.
Talking about trends and innovations in skincare, which trends do you believe in?
I think the future of the skincare industry, the combination of these three trends. So first is the microbiome movement. Second is the personalization. And third one is skin minimalism. I can explain a bit more these three trends and why I believe in it. So today, many consumers now know that their skin is home to a microorganism and that imbalance or unstable microbiome is bad. And we observe a change of customer understanding and behavior towards health in general. And the concept of a more natural way of living is reflecting not only in the way people eat, but also in the cosmetic product they are using. And consumers show concerns about how ingredients interact with their skin and their microbiome. And these trends drive, what is very interesting is these trends drive the cosmetic companies to explore the microbiome effects of their own ingredients and products. And one criterion for doing no harm is maintaining microbiome stability, which is a characteristic, of healthy skin. And another criterion is to ensure a diverse number of species are in proportion to each other. These two characteristics, diversity and stability, are keys to success. So there are some leaders in the industry that are developing products with the microbiome in mind, even if they don't use specifically prebiotic or probiotics. We believe that with the rise of skin conditions, including skin sensitivity, with more environmental pollution, aging population, products that focus on microbiome health will be prominent for years to come. The second one is the personalization. Yeah, I talk about the consumer survey we did 2 years ago. And in this consumer survey, we ask about as well their pain point on the skincare they are using. And over 40% found that the product they are using are not as effective as they hope so. And interestingly, the third largest frustration was, so the second one was fell on too expensive. So it's somewhat interlinked. And the third one was related to trust over the skincare brand they're using. So I think through our service, we hope to revolutionize how consumers think about and purchase cosmetic beyond the powerful branding and marketing brand. So we want to provide people with the knowledge they need to to make the best decision for their skin. And the last trend is about minimalist skincare routine and where simplicity is key. And I like to ask this question, actually. Marie, how many skincare products do you use every day?
Up to 5 products.
An average woman uses between 9 to 15. And do you know roughly...
I didn't understand why. Because they're not working.
and how many ingredients are in those products?
Oh, like so many. This is my chemical factory bottle. I don't know, 20.
Yeah, you're right. So yeah, in a typical product will contain anything from 15 to 50 ingredients. So when you combine all this, you place, plus the perfume, if you use perfume, you place around 500 chemicals on your skin every day. Uh-huh. And one another very important aspect is much of what we place on our skin is absorbed into our bloodstream.
Oh,
and
yes.
There is a study published in the American Journal of Public Health. They looked into the skin absorption of rates of chemicals, and it showed that the skin absorbed an average of 64% of total contaminant dosage. And for some ingredients, this rate is even higher. So, for example, chemical sunscreen absorbed in 74% of individual tested, and phthalates in more than 75%. So there is no doubt that chemicals we apply have a huge impact on our skin, and especially on our skin microbiome. So I think by reducing our amount of product we apply every day, choosing product with a short ingredient list are key for skin longevity. And that's also why we recommend to our user a regimen of only 3 products, so a cleanser, day treatment, and a night treatment, and really help them to simplify their skincare regimen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And talking about personalization, do you think that it's possible to create a personalized product? Because there are so many different types of skin. Let's say I have atopic skin. Okay, this is one case. And there are like 10 more, maybe even 50 more. So it is almost impossible to create something that will be totally perfect for you, but it can be somehow personalized to you. So what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think there is a big difference between like a truly personalized product only for you, because there is many factors, and sometimes it's hard to control all the factors. Also the product, the commercialized product that are mean for everyone. The way we should beyond the personalization is really to understand deeply the skin and adapt the formulation with your skin. So for example, the approach of only looking at marketing claims like, okay, I have a dry skin, I'm taking a product against dry skin to have a better hydration, or I have a sensitive skin, I'm going and I'm checking the claims that say this product is for sensitive skin is not the right way to do it, because there is many other factors, and it's not only the active ingredient that we should look into, but also the entire formula. Having for example a sensitive skin with certain skin traits and a certain type of microbiome population, we can really adapt the entire formula, and not only just on the claim but on the medium ingredient and the base ingredients, and all this can be adapted to really your skin profile.
And since you've already mentioned it, what are 3 top things that you do to support your skin?
I'm following what I said, and I'm doing this since I'm like 20 years old. So I'm using very, very few products. So I have a sensitive skin, so it forced me to use very, very few products. So I just use a moisturizer or an oil and a cleanser, and that's it. And I'm always very careful of the composition of the product I'm buying. So for example, I will avoid a product with perfume because I know that it can trigger some skin reaction. I will check the preservative system and all the different allergens that might trigger a reaction as well, such as essential oils. Also, I'm washing my face only once a day with a very, very gentle product, and only when I use makeup, if I don't use makeup, I just rinse my face with water.
Mm-hmm.
And again, because over cleansing and a harsh surfactant is not good for our skin and your microbiome. Another thing that for me is very, very important is to wear sunscreen every day. Even if I don't spend the day out of, or if it's cloudy. And it's not only because I'm living in Singapore, but I'm doing this also when I'm in Europe. And I'm choosing sunscreen with a broader spectrum coverage, so meaning coverage against both UVA and UVB. It's very important for our skin longevity. So I would say very few products, don't over cleanse your face and wear sunscreen every day.
Mm-hmm. And talking about water, do you think that I'm not quite sure about water in Singapore, but not everywhere water is very good, tap water. So do you think people should be using some special water?
When you have a very hard water, it can dry the skin.
Yeah.
Maybe it's better to switch for mineral water, or at least if you don't want to buy water, you can just use boiled water.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really for very, very sensitive skin.
Mm-hmm. What skincare trends are you skeptical about?
I remember when I launched my company in 2010, there was this trend around mood enhancing skincare, where products were designed to help boost the neurotransmitter and enhance our feeling and reduce our stress. So this type of trends, I don't really believe in. Talk about more like current trends is the one around the blue light protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So first, blue light can be both harmful and beneficial to the skin, depending on the intensity and the wavelength of. And second, the biological effects of repeated long-term exposure are not fully understood yet. It's also important to keep in mind that unlike sunscreen, blue light protection is not closely regulated by the FDA. So I'm not fully convinced that blue light specific protection will do more than just a mineral sunscreen.
Yeah, I have a few first fair questions today. If you could write anything on the billboard, so your personal message, what would that be?
Interesting. I think I really don't use too many products. Even if I'm working in the skincare industry, I really do not recommend to use like 10 or 15 products, because in every product there is a lot of chemicals and that can really trigger a skin reaction, especially our consumer. If they use product and they see a reaction, they just go and buy another one and try another one. So I think maybe it's better to step back, and if you have a reaction to the product, just stop this product, don't rush to buy another one, and try to identify why you have a reaction to this product and try to understand what is your skin about and how you can improve your next purchase on your cosmetic. So yeah, stick to the minimal and be gentle with your skin. Don't over cleanse, and that's a good start.
Mm-hmm. And since you're working in a quite early stage startup, what have you learned about avoiding burnout?
So first, we are a team. We are very supportive to each other. We did a soft launch in December 2019, and we're very expecting to 2020. And with the pandemic, everything was very slow. We were in the phase of fundraising and nothing happened because everyone was postponing, you know, the decision and all this. So I think being with a team, with a nice team spirit that everyone can rely on others and help each other and be there for the other, it's very important.
And how do you make sure that you are supporting your colleagues?
We have a lot of call and discussion, and we are not redundant in our team, so we can really split. Mm-hmm. Everyone has different tasks, and everyone has a kind of a different background. Even if Albert and Oliver, the two co-founders, they are two molecular biologists, but they have their own perspective and their own knowledge. And we all know that everyone brings his own knowledge and background in the company, and we are all working for the same goal. We really recognize each other in our work, and we always try to congrats the one when he is achieving something. And so that's how we support each other.
Mm-hmm. And what is unique about work culture in Singapore compared to average European?
So Albert and Oliver, they are both from Europe, and I'm from Europe. So the three of us, we are from Europe. But in my previous experience, I worked in a Singaporean company with 100% Singaporean. And the culture is a bit different. I will say it's more like an Asian culture. So when there is a boss, everyone is following the boss. And usually you don't really counteract what the boss says. So that's the type of culture. But it was 10 years ago, and I feel that with a new generation, this really evolves, and the mindset shift. And now I think it's a bit different.
And work-life balance is pretty much the same.
Yes, in terms of work-life balance, it's pretty much the same. The only big difference is usually here in Singapore, they don't take much holidays. Mm-hmm. As European, we really need our holidays, and we need our break to be more efficient at work. So, yeah, mm-hmm. that's also a big difference.
Okay. And the last question is maybe more about you personally. So in the last 3, maybe 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
Interesting. I got twins, boys, 2 years ago, so that really improved my life, I will say, as a mom. And it was a big challenge having two boys at the same time and raising them.
It must be so hard to work at the same time in the early stage startup and to raise two kids at the same time. Wow, that must be incredibly stressful.
Yeah, but at least I don't get bored.
Yeah. Good approach.
I'm lucky. I have my husband always next to me, and he's really great with the kids, and he's really like a new generation father that's really mm-hmm. taking care of the kids as well. So it's a part-time job for me, and he's doing the rest.
Uh-huh. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Bye.